Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Harlot's Harvest, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Price of Secrets. They say power belongs to men, but I know better. Power isn't measured in elections, wealth, or even brute strength. No, real power is knowing a man's secrets, holding them in your hands, whispering them into the right ears, or keeping them locked away for a day when they're worth more than gold. I built my empire on those secrets. The Velvet Thorn wasn't just a brothel. It was a throne room where men came to worship their vices, a confession booth where their sins spilled like wine, a hunting ground where I chose my prey carefully. And they all left something behind, something valuable, something they never imagined would come back to haunt them. Senator Royce Caldwell was no different. But unlike the others, he didn't just have a dirty secret. He had a goddamn war in his pocket. That night, he was reckless, drunk, and desperate for an ear to hear him. His grip was tight on the thighs of a girl too young for his 50-something years, his eyes glazed with bourbon, his tongue too loose for a man in his position. I watched him from across the room, sipping my own drink, listening as he chuckled to himself. "They don't even see it coming," he muttered, swirling his glass. "The president? Dead man walking. They think he's got power, but one move, one push, that's all it takes. Then we clean house." The girl in his lap laughed nervously, her body stiff under his grasp. He didn't notice. But I did. I moved closer, letting my presence linger just enough for him to register me. He smirked. "Madam Rosa," he drawled. "You always have the best ears in town." I smiled back. "And the best discretion." He laughed, but the weight of his words had already settled in my mind. This wasn't just another drunk politician spouting bullshit. This was a man who had already put things in motion, who thought he was untouchable. He wasn't. By the time he stumbled out of the Velvet Thorn, I had what I needed. The entire conversation had been recorded, logged, and copied twice. One was locked in my safe. The other was insurance, should things go sideways. Turns out they already had. The first bullet shattered the club's front door. The second took down a security guard before he could even react. Screams erupted as the music cut out, and then came the rush of bodies scrambling for cover. My instincts kicked in before my fear could. I ducked behind the bar, reaching for the gun hidden beneath the counter. More shots. More bodies. Then I saw him, one of Caldwell's men, dressed in black, moving with military precision. He wasn't here for a robbery. He was here for me. I moved fast, popping up just enough to take my shot. The bullet caught him in the throat, and he went down gurgling. But I wasn't fast enough. Pain exploded in my side as a bullet tore through flesh, sending me crashing backward. My vision blurred, but I didn't stop moving. I reached up, grabbed the edge of the bar, and pulled myself toward the back room. I needed to get to the security feed. The hard drive. The proof. The pain was blinding, but I made it. My fingers fumbled, yanking the hard drive from the system just as another shot rang out, shattering the screen in front of me. I turned, gun raised. Nico stood there. My right-hand man. My most trusted enforcer. And he had a gun pointed straight at me. My stomach twisted. "You," he shrugged. "Caldwell pays better. I should have seen it coming." I pulled the trigger first. His body hit the floor with a heavy thud, his eyes wide in shock. No last words. Just silence. I didn't have time to feel anything. I grabbed the hard drive and ran, my blood leaving a trail behind me. I pushed through the back exit, slipping into the alley, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I wasn't just running. I was being hunted. I checked my burner phone. Calls from my usual allies had gone unanswered. Caldwell had moved fast, making sure the people I once counted on now feared me more than they respected me. I needed a plan. A place to regroup. A way to turn the tide before they caught up to me. Then my phone vibrated. A text. An address. I didn't recognize the number, but I knew better than to ignore it. There were only two types of people who contacted me now. Those who wanted me dead, and those who wanted something worse. I gritted my teeth and started walking. I had secrets worth killing for. And tonight, someone was about to die for them. I doubled back through the city, knowing I couldn't go to my safe house. Caldwell's men would be watching. I needed somewhere quiet, somewhere forgotten. The underground fight pits beneath the docks, bloody, ruthless, and filled with men who owed me favors, would have to do. I arrived just after midnight, slipping through a side entrance. The smell of sweat and stale beer filled the air, and the low rumble of a fight echoed through the concrete walls. I spotted Kilo, a thick-necked bruiser with a reputation for handling problems that didn't make it to the police. He grinned when he saw me. "Didn't think I'd be seeing you down here, madam." "I need a safe place," I said, voice low. He eyed me, taking in my torn dress, the streaks of blood. He didn't ask questions. "You got money?" "I got something better," I said, pulling the hard drive from my coat. He nodded slowly. "Then let's talk." I followed him through a back hallway, knowing that whatever deal I struck tonight would either save me or seal my fate. Either way, the killing wasn't over. Not by a long shot. Chapter 2: Blood Money. The streets were colder than usual, the kind of cold that seeped into your bones and settled there like a sickness. I pulled my coat tighter around me, keeping my head low as I moved through the alleyways. The city was alive in the distance, horns blaring, laughter spilling from packed bars, people going about their lives oblivious to the war happening in the shadows. But I wasn't part of their world. Not anymore. I reached the address from the text. An old warehouse, abandoned on the outside but alive on the inside. The moment I stepped through the rusted door, I smelled cigarette smoke, sweat, and something metallic, blood. A dozen men were inside, some playing cards, others watching a fight in the center of the room. Kilo stood near the back, his massive frame barely contained by the leather jacket he wore. He turned when he saw me, his expression unreadable. "Didn't think you'd make it, Rosa." I ignored the stares from the others as I walked up to him, pulling the hard drive from my coat. "I need protection." He took the hard drive, weighing it in his palm like he knew exactly what it was worth. Then he smiled. "You just bought yourself a war." I exhaled slowly. "Then I hope you brought enough bullets." Because the bloodbath was only beginning. The weight of the city pressed down on me, an ever-tightening noose. The moment I handed that hard drive to Kilo, I knew there was no turning back. He wasn't the kind of man who played politics, he played war, and he played to win. We sat in a dimly lit back room, the single bulb above us flickering. Kilo plugged the drive into a laptop, his expression darkening as he scrolled through the footage. "You weren't lying," he muttered. "Caldwell's got his hands so deep in this mess he might as well be buried in it." I leaned back against the wall, pressing a hand to my still bleeding side. "And now he wants me dead for knowing it." Kilo clicked his tongue. "Good. That means we got something he wants." "Not for long," I said. "He'll send more men. And they won't stop until I'm in the ground." Kilo closed the laptop and pulled out his gun, checking the magazine. "Then we kill them first." The first wave came at dawn. For men, heavily armed, moving like shadows through the warehouse district. Kilo's men were ready. The moment the first one stepped into range, a single gunshot split the silence. He dropped before he could fire back. The rest scattered, trying to find cover. I pressed my back against the crates, gun gripped tight in my hands. I'd been in shootouts before, but this was different. This was personal. One of the men darted past me, and I didn't hesitate. I pulled the trigger, the shot tearing through his shoulder. He screamed, dropping his weapon, but I didn't give him the chance to recover. Another shot, and he was still. Kilo was a storm of bullets and brutality, his men following his lead. By the time the last body hit the ground, the air reeked of gunpowder and death. I exhaled, heart pounding. "That was just the beginning," I said. Kilo smirked. "Good." I was getting bored. We didn't wait for Caldwell to make the next move. That night, we hit one of his safe houses. A high-end club, disguised as an investment firm, crawling with men who thought they were untouchable. Kilo and I walked in through the back, dressed like we belonged. No one gave us a second glance until the first shot rang out. Chaos erupted. I moved fast, taking cover behind the bar as Kilo laid down fire. A man lunged at me with a knife, and I drove my gun into his gut, pulling the trigger without hesitation. He collapsed, blood pooling at my feet. Caldwell wasn't there. Of course he wasn't. But the message was clear. We weren't running. We weren't hiding. We were coming for him. Two nights later, Caldwell retaliated. Hard. They hit us while we were on the move, an ambush on the highway leading out of the city. SUVs boxed us in, bullets tearing through the windows. I ducked, cursing as glass rained down. Kilo swerved hard, sending one of the cars crashing into a barrier. I leaned out the window, firing at the driver of another. Blood sprayed, and the vehicle spun out, flipping over itself. The fight didn't stop until only one SUV remained. They must have known they were outmatched because they didn't fire. Instead, the back door opened, and a familiar figure stepped out. Caldwell. I gritted my teeth, gun aimed, but Kilo grabbed my wrist. Not yet, he warned. Caldwell smiled like he had already won. You can't outrun this, Rosa. I smirked back. I don't need to outrun it. I just need to bury you first. And then, before he could respond, I pulled the trigger. The bullet missed, intentionally. I wanted him scared. I wanted him to know this wasn't over. Caldwell dove back into the SUV, tires screeching as they sped off into the night. Kilo let out a low whistle. You sure know how to make a statement. I lowered my gun, my hands steady despite the adrenaline coursing through me. This ends with his body in the ground, I said. Nothing less. And I meant it. Caldwell had turned my city into a battlefield, but he underestimated me. He thought I was just another name on his hit list. He was wrong. I was the last face he'd ever see. And I'd make sure of it. Chapter 3. Snakes in the Dark. The air was thick with the stench of gasoline and blood. I stood in the ruins of one of Caldwell's safe houses, the walls pockmarked with bullet holes, the floor littered with bodies. The club had been his front, but the business was something darker: blackmail, extortion, and the kind of secrets men killed to keep buried. I was covered in blood that wasn't mine, my gun still warm in my grip. Kilo stood beside me, his face unreadable. We had made our move, but it wasn't enough. Caldwell was still breathing, and until that changed, none of us were safe. You think he'll crawl out of whatever hole he's hiding in after this? Kilo asked, wiping his blade clean on the jacket of a dead man. I holstered my gun. No, but we just burned his empire to the ground. He'll come to put out the flames himself. And when he did, I'd be waiting. The next night, I got my answer. It came in the form of a severed hand, delivered to the warehouse where we were holed up. The fingers were broken, the nails torn clean off. A message, loud and clear. Beneath it, a note: you can run, but you can't hide. Kilo stared at the hand for a long moment before letting out a slow exhale. He's getting desperate. I wasn't so sure. Desperation was sloppy, reckless. This was calculated. This was Caldwell reminding me that for every move I made, he had already planned 3 steps ahead. I clenched my jaw. Then we stopped running. Kilo's grin was all teeth. Now you're talking. We spent the next 3 days preparing. Weapons were stockpiled, exits were reinforced, and our network tightened. Every loose end was cut, every unreliable ally was discarded. This was war, and I wasn't taking any chances. But Caldwell beat us to the punch. The attack came at midnight. Explosions rocked the warehouse, sending flames licking up the walls. The air was thick with smoke and gunfire as men poured in through the shattered remains of the entrance. I moved on instinct, rolling to the side as bullets tore through the spot where I had just been standing. My gun was in my hands before I had even finished hitting the ground, my shots finding their marks in the chaos. Kilo was a force of nature beside me, cutting through the attackers with brutal efficiency. But we were outnumbered, and the walls were closing in fast. We need to move, Kilo shouted over the din of the battle. I nodded, my mind already racing. There was a back exit, one Caldwell's men wouldn't know about. If we could make it there, we had a chance. We fought our way through, each step a struggle, each breath laced with smoke and blood. By the time we reached the exit, my hands were shaking from adrenaline and exhaustion. But we weren't done yet. Outside, a convoy of black SUVs waited, headlights cutting through the darkness. Caldwell's men were ready, guns aimed, waiting for us to step into their trap. Kilo cursed under his breath. Guess we're not getting out of this clean. I glanced at him, then back at the convoy. My mind was already made up. We're not running, I said. And then I opened fire. The world exploded into chaos. Glass shattered, tires screeched, and the night was filled with the thunder of gunfire. I moved fast, using the wreckage as cover, picking off Caldwell's men one by one. Kilo was beside me, his blade flashing in the dim light as he carved through anyone who got too close. Bodies hit the pavement. Blood pooled beneath our feet. But then, just as quickly as it had begun, the gunfire stopped. Silence settled over the battlefield, broken only by the distant wail of sirens. The SUVs were burning, the last of Caldwell's men lying motionless on the ground. And then, from the shadows, a slow clap. I turned, gun raised, and there he was. Caldwell. He was flanked by 2 bodyguards, his suit pristine despite the carnage around him. He smiled, slow and deliberate, like a man who had already won. "Impressive," he said. "I didn't think you'd make it this far. I kept my gun trained on him. You should have killed me when you had the chance." He tilted his head. "Oh, I will. But not yet." And then, before I could react, the world went black. I woke up in a dark room, my hands bound, the taste of blood in my mouth. Caldwell sat across from me, his expression amused. "You've been a thorn in my side for too long, Rosa." I smirked, spitting blood onto the floor. "You talk too much." He chuckled. "I suppose I do. But here's the thing. You think you're the hunter. You think you control the game. But you don't." I met his gaze, unflinching. "Then kill me." He leaned forward. "No. That would be too easy. I want to break you first." I felt the chains around my wrists tighten. The room was silent except for the distant hum of something mechanical. And then I realized. The real game was just beginning. Chapter 4. The Hunt. Pain was the first thing I felt. A dull, throbbing ache in my wrists where the chains bit into my skin. My head pounded like a drum, my mouth dry, tasting of copper and dust. I forced my eyes open, blinking against the dim, flickering light above me. Caldwell's men had done a number on me. My ribs screamed with every breath, my lip was split, and I could barely feel my left arm. But I was alive. That meant something. I wasn't done yet. Across from me, Caldwell sat, legs crossed, watching me like I was a stray dog he was debating whether to put down or keep as a pet. "You've been busy," he said casually, sipping from a crystal glass. The smell of whiskey filled the stale air. "Burning down my safe houses, killing my men, ruining my business." I smiled, tasting blood. "You make it sound like a bad thing." He chuckled, leaning back in his chair. "Oh, Rosa. I have to admit, I underestimated you. I thought you were just another power-hungry whore looking for leverage. But you," he tilted his head, "you're something else entirely." I tested the strength of the chains. They were tight but not unbreakable. "I just needed time." "And what does that make you?" I asked, keeping my tone light despite the fire burning in my gut. "A scared little boy playing war?" His smile faltered. "You always have to get the last word, don't you?" I spat blood onto the floor. "Someone has to." His expression darkened, and I braced myself. But instead of hitting me, he stood, adjusting his tie. "You don't get it yet, do you?" He gestured around the dimly lit room. "You're not winning this war. You're bleeding out. Alone. No allies left, no more tricks up your sleeve." I exhaled slowly. He thought I was alone. He thought I had no way out. That was his mistake. I counted the seconds after Caldwell left the room. 20. 30. 40. Then I started working on the cuffs. They were sturdy, but Caldwell had no idea what I had been through before. Pain was nothing new to me. By the time I had my wrists free, the only thing on my mind was murder. I moved quickly, silent as a ghost. The guards outside the door were sloppy cocky. They never saw me coming. One quick snap of the neck. The other a blade across the throat. No hesitation, no remorse. Just survival. I armed myself with their weapons and stepped into the hall. I had one goal. Find Caldwell and end this. The compound was bigger than I expected. A sprawling estate hidden behind high walls, guarded by men who thought they were untouchable. They weren't. I moved like a shadow, cutting through them one by one. The closer I got to the main house, the heavier my pulse beat in my ears. I found him in a lavish office, surrounded by security monitors. Watching me. He turned when I entered, his expression unreadable. "I was wondering when you'd show up." I leveled my gun at his chest. "You talk too much." A slow smile curled at his lips. "Then do it." My finger tightened on the trigger. Then the lights cut out. Darkness swallowed the room. I moved on instinct, ducking as a bullet whizzed past my ear. Gunfire erupted. Flashes of light illuminated the chaos, bodies dropping as I fought through the ambush. Caldwell had planned for this. But so had I. I made my way toward the exit, my movements quick and brutal. When the dust settled, I was the last one standing. Caldwell lay on the ground, clutching a bullet wound to his stomach, coughing blood. I stood over him, gun aimed at his head. He laughed, the sound wet and weak. "You think this ends with me?" I met his gaze, unflinching. "No. But it starts with you." And then I pulled the trigger. The gunshot echoed through the empty halls. Caldwell's body twitched once, then stilled. I stood over him, watching as the life drained from his eyes, a slow smirk still twisted on his lips. I exhaled, my grip on the gun loosening. It was over. Or so I thought. The explosion rocked the building before I could take another breath. A deafening roar, a shockwave that sent me stumbling back. Fire bloomed in the corners of my vision, thick smoke curling through the shattered remains of the ceiling. Caldwell had set a failsafe. The bastard planned to take me with him. I ran. The walls trembled, chunks of plaster and wood raining down around me. My lungs burned with every breath, the air thick with dust and heat. I had to move fast. I had to get out. The front entrance was blocked, a mass of fire and debris cutting off my escape. I turned, scanning the hall, searching for another way out. Then I saw it, a side door barely hanging on its hinges. I sprinted toward it, dodging falling beams, my heart hammering in my chest. The door groaned as I shoved it open, the cool night air hitting my face like a slap. I didn't stop running until I reached the tree line, the burning mansion shrinking behind me. I turned, watching as the flames devoured everything Caldwell had built. I should have felt relief, but all I felt was the weight of what came next. Because the war wasn't over. Not yet. Chapter 5, The Harvest. The night was quiet, too quiet. I stood at the edge of the burning estate, the heat licking my back as I watched the last remnants of Caldwell's empire turn to ash. Smoke coiled into the night sky like a funeral pyre, signaling the end of one war and the beginning of another. Because I wasn't foolish enough to believe this was over. Killing a man like Caldwell didn't erase his reach. It only ensured that his enemies, the ones in the dark, the ones I didn't yet see, would come crawling out. And they would be coming for me. I checked my weapon, reloaded, and turned away from the blaze. My body ached from the countless fights, bruises blooming under my torn clothes, dried blood sticking to my skin. I had won the battle. But the war? The war was just beginning. Kilo was waiting at the rendezvous point, a rundown motel just outside city limits. He was sitting on the hood of a stolen car, smoking a cigarette, watching the flames in the distance. When he saw me approach, he exhaled a long stream of smoke and shook his head. "You really did it," he muttered. "Caldwell's dead." I climbed into the passenger seat, shutting the door behind me. "Yeah," he let out a low chuckle. "And now every last son of a bitch who worked with him is going to be hunting your ass." I looked at him unblinking. "Let them come." The first attack came at dawn. We had barely gotten an hour of sleep when the sound of gunfire shattered the silence. Bullets ripped through the thin motel walls, sending splinters of wood and plaster raining down. I rolled off the bed, grabbed my gun, and fired blindly toward the window. Kilo was already up, cursing as he kicked over a nightstand for cover. "We gotta move." I reloaded, my hands steady despite the adrenaline racing through me. "Who the hell are they?" He peeked through the broken blinds, gritting his teeth. "Caldwell's leftovers. Looks like they don't plan on letting you walk away." I smirked. "Then let's not disappoint them." We burst through the back door, bullets whizzing past us as we sprinted for the car. Kilo slid across the hood, firing as he moved, dropping two of the bastards before they could react. I dove into the driver's seat, hot-wired the ignition, and slammed on the gas. The tires screeched as we tore out of the lot, our attackers scrambling to get to their vehicles. A few bullets punched through the rear windshield, but I kept my focus ahead. We weren't running. We were hunting. The city was a battlefield now. Everywhere we turned, there were shadows waiting to gut us. Caldwell's people, desperate to reclaim what he lost. Rival factions, eager to take advantage of the power vacuum. Cops who had been on his payroll, now looking to clean up loose ends. Every night was a new fight, a new ambush, a new corpse in the gutter. And I wasn't backing down. Kilo and I hit back hard. We went after the ones who thought they were untouchable. The lieutenants, the enforcers, the men who had fed from Caldwell's table for years. We burned their hideouts, turned their own men against them, made them fear the very streets they used to rule. It wasn't just revenge anymore. It was war. And I was winning. Then came the final move. The one I had been waiting for. I got word that the last of Caldwell's high-ranking men, the one pulling the strings in his absence, was holed up in a penthouse downtown, surrounded by armed guards, thinking he was safe. He wasn't. I dressed for war. Black tactical gear, silenced weapons, knives strapped to my thighs. Kilo had a sniper rifle, setting up on the rooftop across the street, ready to clear a path for me. "You sure about this?" he asked through the earpiece. I smirked, stepping onto the balcony of an adjacent building, rope in hand. "I'm sure." And then I jumped. The infiltration was silent, swift, deadly. I moved through the penthouse like a ghost, slitting throats, dodging bullets, leaving bodies in my wake. By the time I reached the main office, there was only one man left. The bastard who had been trying to kill me for weeks. I kicked the door open, gun raised. He was sitting behind a desk, a cigar between his fingers, a resigned look in his eyes. I figured you'd make it here eventually, he said calmly. You've been busy. I didn't lower my gun. You made it easy. He smirked. You think killing me changes anything? I stepped closer. No. But it'll make me feel a hell of a lot better. And with that, I pulled the trigger. The city was mine now. The last of Caldwell's men were either dead, on the run, or too scared to move. The power vacuum was gone. I had filled it. I stood on a rooftop, looking down at the streets below, the neon lights flickering, the sound of sirens in the distance. Kilo stepped up beside me. So what now? I took a deep breath, exhaling slowly. Now! I looked at him, a slow smile curling on my lips. Now we rebuild. And just like that, the hunt was over. The war was won. And I was the last one standing.